Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. This is Richmond's home for the most local talk in town. Got the Junks Monday through Friday from 6 to 10. Michael Phillips, MP on the mic 10 to noon. I'm 12 to 3 AWOD Radio before Grant and Danny drive you home. The most football talk in town you'll hear right here on The Fan. Proud to be Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders. You can hear every game right here on The Fan, including preseason week 3. The final preseason game, Commanders-Ravens, before cut day next Tuesday, as the Commanders then will prep for the New York Giants week 1, September 7th. And we have seen the writing on the wall. Brian Robinson Jr., last year's lead running back, last year's touchdown leader in the backfield, will not be on the roster, most likely traded or cut by Tuesday. So we ask you, who now are Washington's best backs? Who will lead the attack next to Jaden Daniels week 1? And will this team have a lead running back, or will it be running back by committee this season? We'll try to answer your questions. I'll give you my thoughts on the running back room here on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready, folks?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
Stop. Let's open up the phone lines. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Who's the best running back on the roster? We want to discuss this with you, Commanders fans. Make it an open forum. Want to hear from you, because this is not the situation I thought we'd be in, but it's the reality. Who's the best running back on the Commanders roster? Part of the running back room for the 2025 Washington Commanders, part of the running back room is Jaden Daniels, JD5, and his ability to run, his threat to run, his speed changes the dynamic of how the defense attempts to contain the Commanders' rushing attack. So that's number one right there. That's number one, is that Jaden Daniels needs to run the ball. It's just, it's the way this season is going to work. So, who's next? Because I asked Michael this. I don't know if there will ever have a running back again that lines up next to Jaden Daniels that has more yards than him. I mean, Stubb, last year, what did we have from B-Rob? 759? Jaden had 851. And I think he's going to have more than that this year. We might never see another running back have more yards than our starting quarterback.
799 from B-Rob.
Yeah, 851 from Jaden. That's a fact. He outran our number one back. That has to play into the coaching staff decision. It has to. Because Brian Robinson is a bell cow. He is your every down back. That's what he's best at. But last season, he didn't even run for more yards than your starting quarterback. So why do you need him? I think that's very interesting part of this situation. What is it like blocking for Jaden Daniels? Tyler Biadasz answered that question as he spoke with the media for a Commanders podcast. Let's take a listen. Tyler Biadasz, what it's like blocking for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I think that's what makes like the blocks even more crucial. I think like the biggest part is like with the zone read element. That's a huge factor of like how defenses kind of play you, because you're going to get a different look like
all the time.
A good amount of time. Like, you know, like there's a good amount of like, obviously, like, you know, you go through running styles and like obviously defense, you know, like by this formation, they have this and this, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. But like as an offense and how versatile we are, like, you know, there's a little bit more to prep in regards to like how defenses, because a lot of people that played Jaden like differently too and like throughout the year. So, but that's where you have a great system in place. That's where you have a great like rules of like, hey, like for certain landmarks and certain hits. But like that makes even more of the block, because it's like you really don't know. Like you really don't know behind you what's happening, right?
But
that's kind of the reality you live in too. So it's like it's nothing like new. It's more so like how more detailed can those blocks be if, you know, you don't play the what if game, but you hit them square on. So it's like you're kind of like fighting pressure with pressure to seeing like which direction of like where their backers are seeing it or whatever. So, but that's what's awesome about it, is that like you have to have that mindset of like there isn't a guessing game; it's a reaction game.
I think what was most interesting about that answer from Tyler Biadasz is different teams will defend Jaden different. And that could determine how Cliff Kingsbury calls a game and which running back he uses in the backfield next to Jaden Daniels. So I'm going to bring up a topic later on in the show today. For the Washington Commanders to be Super Bowl champions, who needs to be the best 11 players on the team? The reason I bring this up is because when the offseason began, I thought of this topic. And I kept saying, for this team to win 12 games, for this team to win a Super Bowl, Brian Robinson needs to be a 1,000-yard rusher. We did several segments about that. We now presume he's not going to be on the team.
Yeah.
So, who actually will be close to Jaden in terms of a 1,000-yard rusher? Will we have a lead back anymore, or will it be running back by committee? I think it's going to be a lot of guys. I feel like the top two running backs in terms of snap counts, and I think Michael agrees with me on this, I predict Austin Ekeler and Jeremy McNichols. McNichols seems to be the guy that they trust the most to block on passing downs, and he can do a little bit of everything. All right? Chris Rodriguez and Bill, I think they're going to split carries, or Bill will win the job, or C-Rod will be so good he holds off Bill. Ekeler is the one guarantee. He's the one guarantee that will be active. He will be a big part of the offense and maybe special teams. McNichols is probably your second best thing. Chris Rodriguez has plenty of film on tape. And Bill has the most upside because of the unknown. And he's the fresh, all right? He's the most fresh because he missed most of last season. And so I was thinking about this last night, right? Trying to figure out who's going to be this team's starting running back. All offseason, I thought B-Rob was going to have a great year. The optimistic approach that I was thinking about is, let's just trust Adam Peters for a second here, right? Let's trust the general manager who has come in and taken a franchise with 4 wins and turned it into 12. And let's try to get into his mind and be optimistic. And he had his guys scout running backs, presumably the day he got here last April, right? Because he came in here and they didn't like Antonio Gibson, right?
No.
They didn't love the running backs that we had here. So they saw film, I'm saying optimistic, on Bill from this 2 years ago, right? Because he didn't play more than one game last year. So my optimistic approach is Adam Peters came in, started scouting running backs, and they saw Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt play in college when he was eligible, right? Because he wasn't eligible this past season. And maybe they knew they had a steal. And he did show up in the Shrine Bowl and looked good. And maybe that's when they realized, all right, he's going to actually get drafted. He ends up falling to Washington in the 7th round. But I think the optimistic approach is that they believe if he had played a full season his senior year, he might have been a 3rd-round pick, right? Which is super high for a running back when you consider how much the position has been devalued in recent years. You're not drafting a running back in the 1st round most times anymore. And so, if I'm saying the optimistic approach is, and Adam Peters, what he's done since he's come in here, I don't think it's too far-fetched to think that Bill was one of their favorite running backs out of the draft. And that a new staff is coming in here and they might just start their favorite running back out of camp and cut the guy who's on an expiring contract. Like, it's not crazy to think about Adam Peters coming in here. Brian Robinson Jr. was part of the previous regime. He's on an expiring contract. They let him go through training camp and they just decided he's not the best running back. He's not our favorite guy out of camp. That's the optimistic approach. Like, I don't think that's crazy at all, because they did the same thing last year with Benjamin St. George, St. Juice, with Emmanuel Forbes, with Jahan Dotson. And I've been saying since they got here, I've been saying this. If this staff did not draft you or did not sign you as a free agent, they may not care about developing you. You might get cut. It sucks, but it's the reality that we've seen. Anybody that was a Rivera pick, you're on your last leg in Washington. It's very true. And so, those are not their guys. Brian Robinson Jr. was not his guy. If you get a new job, are you going to trust the previous regime's guy? Or are you going to trust your process and trust your research? And their scouts told Adam Peters they like Bill. And from what they saw in training camp, they like the running back room. They've talked at length about how it's deep. And they feel it might not be much of a drop-off without Brian Robinson Jr. And with more speed on the field, you could see addition by subtraction. Too many plays last season where Robinson left them behind the sticks. This team was at its best when it was 1st and 10, 2nd and 6, 3rd and 2. We're getting it. 2nd and 9, 2nd and 10, 2nd and 11 because of Brian Robinson. That held us back. And so I think what I was saying all offseason was better offensive line, Brian Robinson shouldn't be better. I think we've seen now that Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, and that front office said with a better offensive line, the rushing attack should be better. And who's the lead running back from our first year in charge here? It's Jaden Daniels. It's not Brian Robinson Jr. That's why they didn't feel the need to have him on the roster this season. And really, as much as I got emotional about this situation because I wanted B-Rob to put the pads on in a preseason game and show up the haters, sometimes this is how the National Football League works. Sometimes this is how it works in the NFL. They had to see what they had in Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt and Bill before they made a decision to move on. I was mad that it happened before B-Rob put the pads on, but sometimes that's how it works. And against a number one defense, a top defense, in terms of the starters, I know the Bengals aren't a good defense, but they played their starters. We got to see Chris Rodriguez and Bill, and they both looked good. And they both look good. So, like, that's, I think, the optimistic approach here, if you want to be positive. Because I think everyone's trying to wrap their heads around how did a team that won 12 games cut their lead running back? Because he wasn't their lead running back. That was Jaden Daniels. And Adam Peters knows that Brian Robinson was from the previous regime. There's a chance that they have known they had a steal in Bill for 2 years now. And they were just waiting to give him an opportunity. That's the optimistic approach. It's hard to wrap your head around how is this team going to start a seventh-round pick this season? But when you try to understand that Brian Robinson wasn't their guy, that they saw that Chris Rodriguez actually did a lot of very similar things and maybe some things better than Brian, and they want to have a passing offense, they have a lot of guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield. It's never been B-Rob's biggest strength. That's Eckler's game, McNichol's game, and maybe they can get a little bit of that from C-Rod or Bill, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. How do you think we got here with Brian Robinson Jr.? Do you like the four guys they've got? Who do you think should start next to Jaden Daniels week one? 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, today is the Washington Commanders' final day of training camp. Dan Quinn told the media what they have in store for today. Let's take a listen to the head coach of the Washington Commanders.
We have a unique practice format today, so I'm glad you guys are here to watch. We have the NFL officials here, and we're also going to work a ton of situations today. You've heard us talk like winning time moments and how we do that. Just for an example, last season alone, we had 13 one-score games. We had around 20 or so, maybe 20-plus, two-minute at the end of the halves, 17 or 18 2 minutes at the end of the game, counting either an offense or a defense. And so today you'll see us compete against ourselves, go against the clock, work different scenarios, and really try to pressure test ourselves to see, can that threshold be even lower? Can you get on the ball that much quicker? And so I'm kind of pumped to give that a go. This is the first time I'll be doing that with an entire NFL officiating crew and working these situations and the clock. So we do them at joint practices, but to have everybody here for one of just our practices, it's pretty cool. So we're going to really lean into that hard today in preparation really for the year to pressure test ourselves. Can we even get sharper? It's such a big part of what we do. We have a lot of confidence in those spaces, so let's test ourselves a little further today.
I love that from Dan Quinn. Situational football can absolutely decide who wins and loses games in the National Football League. Will be interesting to see which running backs are out there per each situation, but if you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. Stub, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. I think if you looked at this situation with burgundy and gold glasses like I was before, you're saying, how the hell are you going to cut or trade your lead back from last year? When you're all in for this year, you're trying to make the playoffs for the first time back-to-back years in 30 years. You're trying to win 12-plus games again, get back to the conference championship game. How are you going to move on from B-Rob? But when you realize how much Jaden Daniels ran last year and how much Brian Robinson was probably helped by the threat of Jaden running and the addition of Deebo Samuel and Bill, it makes more sense. It really does. So I wanted to try to break down the four running backs that the Washington Commanders will probably have this season. We assume Brian Robinson Jr. will be traded for a seventh-round pick or cut before next Tuesday. So the interesting guy, I think, is Austin Ekeler. Because he's 30 years old. Because he's 30 years old and because he has, for a long time, been a starting running back in the National Football League. Like, he's had 200-plus snaps. He's had 900-plus yards. He's actually never been a 1,000-yard back, which is interesting, but he has been in terms of all-purpose because he's awesome in the receiving aspect of things. He's gone over 1,000 yards all-purpose, I believe, four times in his career. But he has not had more than 200 snaps in 3 years, and I don't expect that to be the case this year. But he has the strongest resume, for sure, of the four guys that Washington will most likely keep. He's done it with the Chargers, and when he's healthy, he can be your lead back. I'm pretty sure about that. McNichols is next. Probably the best blocker A big part of the highlight in the win against the Bengals, Jaden Daniels steps up in the pocket, finds Terry McLaurin. There was a free rusher. McNichols knocked him out. He's also a solid scat back who could and has started games for the Commanders when Austin Ekeler was hurt. And you definitely saw a drop-off in terms of the kick returns. I don't know about you, Stubb. I didn't really see a drop-off in terms of the offense when McNichols replaced Austin Ekeler.
I mean, Austin Ekeler had those crazy big plays that you could always count on. He was really the only running back that had consistent breakout plays. I don't think it was horrible without him, but I think B-Rob just wasn't that great all season.
Last year, Jeremy McNichols, 261 yards on the ground, did have 30 yards in receiving yards there. He played all 17 games, got one start in the season for the injured Austin Ekeler, and was really, really solid in that game for Washington. He's a guy that I feel like we can count on. If Eckler's hurt, you're not going to miss too much in the backfield. Chris Rodriguez is next. The fourth quarter man. I think on some teams that are going to run the ball to their number one running back 20-plus times, he could be a lead running back. He is like a first down back, a prototypical first down back, not really a third down back guy unless it's third and short. But his resume, much better than Bill's, and he's done it in the burgundy and gold. And the best thing he has going for him is this coaching staff has seen him, trusts him, likes him enough that they kept him around for another offseason. That's the best thing he has going for him. And then there's Ja'Cory Kraski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill. So much upside, so much unknown. Can you count on him to be a blocker in the backfield there on passing downs? Can you count on him on short yardage situations? We saw him have an explosive 27-yard run, but is that something we can expect from him this season? He also has played zero NFL snaps. This is going to be his rookie season. There could be a fumbling problem that we just don't know about with Bill because he hasn't had that much of an opportunity. The media had a chance to talk to players as they walked off the field yesterday after practice, and this is what Ja'Cory Kraski-Merritt had to say when asked about B-Rob, Brian Robinson Jr.
B-Rob, he's definitely my dog, my guy on and off the field. I mean, he's taught me a lot, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
And that's all I'm going to say about that. Did you happen to see the video that's attached to that audio piece, Stubb?
A little bit. He seemed uncomfortable.
He also was cheesing, like a giant smile, like, I don't want to say anything negative, but I just took homie's job, and he's not getting it back.
That's the awkward smile to me.
Really?
So why are you asking me
to
that?
To me, that was the smile of, I know why you're asking about him, because I have overtaken him on the depth chart. That's what I got out of that. Look, he didn't say anything negative. I think he is so fired up because he feels like
he's done what
he did. He needed to do in training camp to make this team. Like, he is making this team.
At this point, I think it's running back by committee or Ja'Cory hits 1,000. I think if it's any of the four,
slow
him,
down there.
I don't think it's going to be it. I think that's the only one that makes sense to me as being the lead in the end
right
of this.
But not near 1,000. Remember, Brian Robinson got the most carries of the team last year and had 799. I don't think there's going to be somebody that runs for more than Jaden.
Yeah, but he had the 26th most carries in the NFL or something like that, right?
Right, but that's because of how much Jaden ran. And then you have the addition of Debo's going to run this year. You're going to see the lead running back probably 500, 600 yards.
I think that's more likely. I'm just saying if anyone is the breakout, it's him.
Yeah. I would probably have more faith in it being Ekeler staying healthy or Chris Rodriguez. There's just so much unknown with Bill, and we don't even know if they trust him enough to activate him week one against the Giants, because you're going to have to be in situations where you're going to have to block maybe an Abdul Carter or a Kayvon Thibodeau or Brian Burns. There's going to be more trust in Chris Rodriguez. I feel like I wouldn't be shocked if week one, play one, snap one, it's Jaden Daniels with Austin Ekeler next to him.
I think
that's where I'm at in terms of highest percentage chance. It's all because while Austin Ekeler is healthy, like I'm gonna say, I don't know if he'll stay healthy. Right, the guy's got a concussion issue and injury history in the past in the National Football League. While he's healthy, you might as well let him be your every down back and punt or and kick returner and just use him until you lose him, because he is the most talented back we probably have. Like, Austin Eckler's so freaking awesome when he's healthy. I talked about it all last year, how he's like a bowling ball, how he can sprint to the left and then cut up field like a bowling ball cuts when you spin it. It's so crazy how he kind of like flings his arms and then just boom, he'll cut up field. He is awesome at hitting the edge and turning it upfield and taking a 2-yard run into a 10-yard run. And last year, he was a living, breathing, walking first down, right? He was averaging 10 yards a pop on runs or passes to him for a lot of the season last year when he was healthy. He's the best thing we've got. And then after that, I think in terms of the guy they trust the most is McNichols, and the guy they've seen the most from is Chris Rodriguez. Michael, I think, is in the camp of Bill will probably be inactive week one. I kind of would be a little surprised if he is ahead of Chris Rodriguez on the depth chart to start the season. Halfway through the season, it's going to be different. By the end of the season, he could be your leading back.
The way this B-Rob stuff is coming together for me is that they see something.
Right. But Bill. They see something in everyone.
I think that's true.
They keep I think Brian Robinson's situation is less that Bill is awesome and more that they just like the entire room and that like they might like four guys ahead of him. They might like Chris Rodriguez more. And the analytics look bad for Brian Robinson.
Yeah. I mean, it was bad.
And that's the other part of this that we're not really fully diving into is Adam Peters and his staff, they might be more in the analytics than we've given them credit for so far. And maybe that is obvious by the case that the analytics said go for it on fourth down, and they did at a historic rate last year. They're into the analytics. And the analytics were not kind to B-Rob. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders. You can hear every game right here on The Fan, the most Commanders coverage in town. And joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, it's our buddy Logan Paulson. What's up, Logan?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and we know today is the last day of Commanders training camp. What's it like when you were playing in the National Football League? What's the last day of training camp like?
Oh my gosh, it's kind of amazing, actually. I mean, so it's funny if you're staying. So, like, for a couple of years, I was in here in Washington. We played up in Ashburn. We stayed at like our house or stayed at a local hotel. And when you broke, it didn't really feel like anything different was happening, because even though camp is broke, you still had to come in for practice at the same time the next day and kind of do your same routine. But like, obviously, when you're down in Richmond or when you're staying away and you can go home afterwards, it feels very, very different. It's kind of a breath of fresh air getting out of there. So really depends on the situation, but it's always kind of nice to be ending training camp usually.
Logan Paulson with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Logan on Twitter now, as well on Instagram, and doing a bunch of great stuff covering the Commanders as an analyst. So the big theme of the show today, Logan, has been the running back room. I want to get your opinion on a couple of the guys. We'll start with Austin Eckler. Can he still be an every down back, or is that not the same he's at this point in his career?
But, you know, it's funny. I don't think there's a lot of people in the NFL that are every down running backs anymore. I think the guys that are every down bell cow running backs are kind of like these genetic freaks. You know, Saquon Barkley last year in Philly, Derrick Henry, obviously the physicality of his stature is well known. But very rare is that kind of the case for the back now. So I think the specialty role is kind of the way the position's going. And I think Austin Eckler has a very special, very defined role and a very defined skill set that lets him be the best football player for the Washington Commanders. So obviously that's kind of the explosive pass catching screen element that he brings to the offense. So yeah, I don't know if he's a bell cow guy necessarily, but that's not an indictment of him, because I don't think there's very many people who are bell cow backs anymore. So I think he's going to have a specific role, and Cliff Kingsbury has shown an ability to maximize that skill set in this offense.
Yeah, I think Cliff loves what Austin Eckler brings. Then Jeremy McNichols, I think the coaching staff might trust him the most in terms of blocking in the backfield, and everyone's pointed to the huge block he had last year in the Bengals game as Terry McLaurin was down the sidelines. He also can step in for Austin Ekeler if an injury happens. That happened last year. What do you think Jeremy McNichols brings to the Commanders?
Yeah, I think he's just incredibly solid, like a true like get-on-base type of back. I think you mentioned the pass protection. He does a great job of that. He doesn't have the best hands of all time, but he catches the football well. And he runs just insanely hard. He's a good pro. He's a good teammate. He's kind of checks all these, you know, intangible boxes that, you know, Dan Quinn and Adam Peters have valued since they arrived last year. So I think he's like kind of a perfect fit from a teammate standpoint. I think when he does get in and play, he's like at least last year and during training camp this year when he's in, he always plays well, always plays hard. I think there's tremendous value in that.
Chris Rodriguez up next, and he had a great performance against the Cincinnati Bengals. Last year, I dubbed him the fourth quarter man as he came in late in games and just, you know, chugged forward for first down after first down, was great in the red zone as well. How do you think they view Chris Rodriguez? Can he be a first quarter man this season?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how they view him, but I will say from my observation and what I've seen not only in the preseason but at training camp, he's a guy that, and even last year, even the last couple of years since you know, the last regime drafted him, I think he's got tremendous physicality. I think he's got tremendous work ethic, and I do think you see a guy who's coming to camp in a little bit better shape while still being able to maintain some of that physical edge to his game. You know, like on John Kime's podcast, the John Kime report, he mentioned that you know, this year he's already ran a faster mile per hour than he did at any point last year. So you see the speed, you see the burst, the physical toughness is still there, and he just feels like a guy, and the statistics and the analytics bear this out, that's able to maximize dirty runs with his physical style. So I think he's a great runner, and I think there are some limitations to his game with regards to like catching the football, but I think he's improving in that area as well. To me, I love what he brings. I love the mindset that he brings, and hopefully gets a bigger role this year in the offense.
And then you have the unknown, which is Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill, the seventh-round pick that turned heads at training camp, had a really good performance in preseason against the Bengals, and it seems like he's in line to have a roster spot and maybe be a big part of this offense. How do you describe what he brings, and is it different than these other guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. They're all kind of similar versions of the same guy. Like, they all pass protect pretty well. They all are kind of natural, intuitive runners. Obviously, C-Rod's got more of a physical style. I would say McNichols is very physical, but more of a slashing type style. The explosive playmaking of Austin Ekeler, I think everyone's kind of familiar with that after watching him last year. And then Bill is kind of, again, he's similar, right? He's decent in pass protection. He's got a physical running style. I think the thing that separates him from those other three guys is his ability to, his vision is just seems very excellent at the moment. His ability to accelerate, his ability to decelerate, and that shows up. You know, I think when you look at that touchdown run on the GT on the second Commander's drive, like, you see his ability to kind of burst through the hole. His top end speed might not be there, but his acceleration through the hole is got to be some of the best, you know, like, is very, very good for the position. So I think that's where I see him, kind of like his superpower, his vision, his ability to maximize murky or muddy runs kind of by setting up blocks in kind of this slinky, snake-like type of way. And then once he sees the cut, he's able to really just, you know, put the pedal to the metal and burst through the hole in a way that is very unique to him.
Logan Paulson with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. NFL player for 10 years, and now you can check out his work on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980 with the Commanders, as well as the Take Command podcast on Instagram, Logan_Paulson. And I was trying to wrap my head around this Brian Robinson situation, and I felt like I had a moment when I realized he didn't even lead us in rushing yards last year. Jaden Daniels did with 851. Last year, Jaden leads us. I think this year, Jaden leads us. So, will we ever have a running back outrush Jaden again? I mean, who do you think ends up with the most snaps?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think the thing about the running backs, and one of the reasons why Jaden may again this year lead the team in rushing, is I think you're running into kind of a carry scarcity or a touch scarcity, because you think about it, it's not only Jaden who's going to get design touches in the run game. We mentioned the four running backs, which you're also going to get Deebo Samuel getting lots of touches as well. So I think it's going to be kind of who's hot that week, and I think there will be many times where Austin Eckler will have kind of the lion's share. He'll have 10 to 12 carries. He'll have five receptions and have a very explosive day. Same thing with C-Rod. But I think the by-committee nature of the running back position, at least that's kind of how it feels going into the season, is going to limit those guys from having any kind of crazy rushing yard totals. And again, you got to think about Debo and how he'll be kind of slowly, cannibalizing some of those touches from those guys. So I think it'll be a very effective room. I think it'll be a little bit unconventional, but I think it'll be very, very effective.
Logan, we're doing a bit here, and we're asking everybody to provide an answer here. Week one, game one, snap one. Jaden Daniels in the backfield with who? I said Austin Eckler. Michael Phillips said he's going to be back there by himself, five wide, first play. What do you think? First play of the season.
I like both of those answers, and I think the thing with this running back room, and I'll give you an answer in a second, is that the depending on the week, depending on the matchup, it's probably going to be someone different. But I think for me, after watching Chris Rodriguez through training camp, after watching him in the preseason game, I think he may have earned that opportunity, especially if they want to get downhill and be physical with that first carry of the game, that first carry of the season. So we'll see. I think all four of them are capable, but I'd like to see C-Rod back there again because I like the running style, but also I like the person. Like, his story's great. His stick-to-itiveness is great. The way he handled all that adversity last year is really, really inspirational. So I'm kind of pulling for him to get that first touch.
To follow up on that, what do you think Dan Quinn's philosophy is? How many active wide receivers versus active running backs?
Dude, this is going to be tough. And I think this is something, the football nerd in me is always super excited to kind of see how the roster shakes out. And this year, I'm not sure that there are enough wide receivers, at least on the team currently, to say, oh, we deserve to carry six wide receivers. Like, right now, it feels like there's probably a pretty solid five. And in years past, they've carried as many as, when I was here with Mike Shanahan, they carried nine at one point. But, six, seven wide receivers seems like a very normal number. I'm not sure that anybody has, truly earned or separated or distanced themselves from the rest of the field with regards to kind of carving out a role for that six or seven spot. I think guys have had good days. I think guys have shown flashes of things. But again, like I've said this on numerous other shows, the thing to me that separates a good player from an NFL pro is the consistency. So I'm not sure how they end up shaking out that receiver room and the running back room. I feel like all four of those guys we just talked about deserve to be on the roster, and I think will be on the roster. So if that means you got to be a little bit light at the receiver spot, at least initially, maybe that's the direction they go. And it's also important to remember they have Zach Ertz, who kind of moonlight, he's a tight end, obviously, but his receiving skill set is pretty dynamic, and I would kind of say would help offset, maybe a light receiver room.
Logan, it was awesome to see Jaden Daniels run into the end zone. Got me so fired up for the season. Chris Rodriguez looked good. Bill looked good. But how good did you feel for John Bates showing off why he got paid?
Dude, I was a blocking tight end, and I will always have a soft spot in my heart for that position and that role on a team. And I love it, man. I love when I see John, driving down a six technique, or, the wham block that everyone talked about, or even he had a duo block where he really just went screw to screw with the defensive end and was able to drive him out of the hole. He brings a toughness, a mindset, and a professionalism that is really unique and very valuable. And I'm really glad that the Commanders were able to identify that, because oftentimes, especially fans, don't value that level of physicality, that level of toughness, and what it does for your run game and your pass protection game. So it's nice to see him kind of having some recognition for his efforts, because I definitely think it's well-deserved.
Logan, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate it.
Dude, thanks for having me on, man.
Yep, that is Logan Paulson. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Dan Quinn told the media, we're not going to play Where's Waldo. The media continuing to play Where's Waldo. Where's Terry McLaurin? John Kime has spotted him. Terry McLaurin walked out to the field. The team is doing 11-on-11 work. He's in a hoodie. Focus for him remains on conditioning. So we were wondering, would we see Terry McLaurin? Eyes on him. We found Waldo. He's out there. Wanted to get back into the Washington Commanders, who have their final training camp practice today with officials in the building, NFL officials, referees, as they go through situational-type drills. And a big theme of the show today has been the running backs. And I told you guys I wanted to do a segment, who needs to be the 11 best players on the team for Washington to be Super Bowl champions? All right, they're going to start 22. Pick 11, all right, plus special teams. Pick 11 who need to be the best players on the team for them to be Super Bowl champions. The reason I came up with this idea is because all offseason, I was the dumb who was saying, if B-Rob's in a 1,000-yard back, I could see us winning 12 games. If B-Rob leads us in touchdowns, I could see us going to the playoffs again. If Brian Robinson this, if Brian Robinson that, we got to scrap that. He's not going to be part of the team. So who are the 11 best players the Commanders need to be stepping up for them to be Super Bowl champions? Number one is Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, that's
it's not even close. Freebie. Give me a ding for that. You can double ding Jaden. You can ding him for the rest of his life. He's a G. Love Jaden Daniels. He is number one. I have Deebo Samuel as number two.
Oh.
I have Deebo Samuel as number two. I don't even have Terry McLaurin on this list. I think he needs to play for this team to win a Super Bowl. But I think for them to be Super Bowl champions, we need the best version of Deebo Samuel. We need 2021-2022 version of Deebo Samuel. Got a glimpse of that in that edge, that end around against the Bengals in preseason. He looked quick. He overweight my ass, and he looked like he was tough to tackle. He's the big addition this offseason. If the Commanders are going to be Super Bowl champs, Deebo Samuel needs to be one of the best players on the field every single game and to be on the field staying healthy. Number three, I'm going to the defensive side of the ball, Bobby Wagner. If Bobby Wagner doesn't stay healthy, we lose so much more than just his tackles. We lose leadership. He is the defensive coordinator on the field. And in the locker room, he's the voice of the Commanders. Jaden's young still. Jaden's not grabbing someone by the jersey and telling them to step the bleep up. He's a kid. He's not Tom Brady right now. Bobby Wagner will. And we heard everybody say during the three-game losing streak, the same voice was committed to positivity every week, and that was Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner needs to be awesome and stay healthy for this team to be Super Bowl champion. Number four, it's the Super Bowl MVP they have on the roster. That's Von Miller. Von Miller needs to be one of the 11 best players on the team, needs to be even a top five player for this team to be Super Bowl champions. We don't have a superstar edge rusher. Our 10.5 sack guy from last year is gone. Second in sacks was Frankie Louvu. He's one of our starting linebackers. It's not going to be Dorrance Armstrong leading us to a Super Bowl or Jacob Martin. Von Miller needs to be the killer on third downs for us to be Super Bowl champions. He's at number four. Number five is Frankie Louvu. I've already predicted I think he's going to be an all-pro linebacker. I think if he takes a step forward this year and Wagner's healthy, you could have the Commanders have the top linebacker crew in the National Football League. I think a lot of people are giving credit to the Eagles last year with the way Zach Bond played. I think Frankie Louvu has a chance to be better than Zach Bond this season. Six, I'm sticking with the defense because then the offense could be a lot of Jaden and Debo, and even more Jaden because he's probably going to have a lead running back. Six is Quan Martin for me. This secondary needs to get off the field with turnovers. He had the biggest play last year in the pick six. He was probably the best player in preseason, the way he hit against the Bengals. He looked awesome. Dan Quinn's talked about his leadership, right? Just this last press conference today, he talked about how much more of a vocal leader Quan Martin's been this year. I'm expecting Quan Martin to play at the level or better than what you got from Jeremy Chinn last year in terms of the hits and providing the thump at the line of scrimmage. And then also, I think he can create some turnovers. Six is Quan Martin. Seven, Laremy Tunsil, the new LT in the building here. Laremy Tunsil needs to be one of the best 11 players on the team for Washington to be Super Bowl champions. He's got to blindside protect Jaden. If Jaden doesn't play every game, this team's not going to win every game. It's as simple as that. Laremy Tunsil was the biggest addition we made this offseason, even bigger than Debo Samuel. Because blindside is a massive position, especially when you have a running quarterback. We need Tunsil to be a stud. I think he's also going to be much better than people are giving him credit for in terms of run blocking. Tunsil's at seven. Eight, I mentioned Jaden Daniels. I mentioned his number one target. I think it's going to be Debo Samuel in terms of production. Number two, if I'm not talking about Terry, and I don't have Terry in my 11, I'm putting Zach Ertz there. Zach Ertz was the most clutch player we had last year in the red zone. Jaden threw it to him on third down, on fourth down. He had the diving game-winning catch against the Falcons. He was great against the Eagles every time. And if Zach Ertz can replicate what he does last year, it's going to be big stuff for the offense. I think he can because we haven't seen Ben Sennett or any of those guys really push him yet for that spot. This team is going to rely on him. He's not going to be asked to do much blocking tight end stuff because that's John Bates. I have Ertz at eight. Nine, I'm going to Tyler Biadasz because I think we saw how much he makes an impact when he came out last year. They couldn't run the ball, and they couldn't really pass the ball much because the interior of the offensive line was getting pressured and hurrying Jaden Daniels every single snap without Tyler Biadasz. And they just cut the backup, Julian Good-Jones. Guess he wasn't good enough. Tyler Biadasz needs to stay healthy, needs to be a top 10 center for this team to get to where they want to go. 10, Matt Gay. I think we got to trust our field goal kicker. 11, I'm going Austin Eckler. I'm going, and I think it's because he provides the best of both worlds at the running back position. I think you can hand it off to him. We showed that against the Detroit Lions, right? I think this front office envisions this season's going to look a lot more like it did at the end of last season than the beginning, where you were handing it off to B-Rob over and over again. At the end of last year, it was Eckler, B-Rob, McNichols, and Jaden running. I think that's what this year is going to be a lot of, and that includes Austin Eckler getting the ball in the backfield and also catching it out of the backfield as well. So for Washington to be Super Bowl champions, those are the guys that I think need to be the 11 best players on the team this season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.